Welcome, welcome, one and all, to another edition of the Empire Writes Back podcast. I'm John Franklin, co-site expert with the guy to my left, Mr. Sean Dyer. We're bringing in a special guest, Sean, John Carroll, one of our writers, to talk all things Bills because this is our NFL special. We're so excited to bring it at you. Preseason is underway. There's no better time of year. It's like Christmas in August. There's nothing better. But Sean, you know, we're going to start things off with probably the most exciting team in New York right now, the team that most people think have a good chance at Super Bowl contention, definitely a playoff team, the New York Giants. Their offseason has been highly productive. I'd say one of the more productive across the NFL in general. Why don't you take us through maybe some free agent acquisitions, how they did in the NFL draft. What's your take?
So, if you remember, 2016 offseason for the Giants was a big-time spending spree. Went out and signed Olivier Vernon, Damon Snack Harrison, and Janoris Jenkins. Luckily for the Giants, obviously, a lot of free agents signings in the NFL don't work out quite as well as New York's did. But because they were all three were pretty much home runs, didn't have a ton of holes coming into this offseason. So free agency was a little bit quieter, but they did fill some big holes with the signings they did make. Went out and got Brandon Marshall, former New York Jet, to join a wide receiver corps that had Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard already in it. Went and added DJ Fluker, trying to bolster the offensive line, which has been an issue for, seems like forever now, that they're trying to fill the shoes of the O'Haras and the McKenzies and the David Deals.
Luke Pettigrew.
Yeah.
People forget.
When the Giants won Super Bowl championships, it was behind a strong offensive line. They're trying to get back to that. DJ Fluker, nothing special, but hopefully we'll provide some depth on the right side of the line, played tackle and guard in San Diego. So that's really most of what they did in free agency, adding those two. Then went into the draft, added Gavie Manning another weapon with first-round pick. Evan Engram, tight end of Ole Miss. Well, fastest tight end at the combine, faster than all but four wide receivers in the 40-yard dash. So his game is speed. He's not much of an inline blocker, per se, as far as tight ends go. But he should work in the slot, go up the seam, which the Giants have been starved of someone that can just work the seam and take attention off of their receivers. Hopefully Evan Engram does that. Another free agent signing, they did add Rhett Ellison to the tight end group, who's more of a fullback, H-back blocker type. So he should help with the running game. The Giants added Wayne Gallman to the running game, fourth-round draft pick. I know you like Gallman. Add him in with Paul Perkins. They move on from Rashad Jennings, who had
a lackluster career.
An uneven career with the Giants.
Horrible.
I don't know if I'd say horrible. He wasn't...
Not good. These are my takes. These are not Sean's.
I'm not as down on Rashad Jennings as you were. He's a great dancer, which is great for him. Okay. Didn't help as much when he was in pads. But, yeah, they move on from him, kind of get some younger legs in terms of running backs. They did lose Jonathan Hankins at D-tackle, which I was a little upset about. It seemed that saga went on for so long, and it seemed like the only option really was for Hankins to come back to the Giants.
I thought so, too.
He was looking for a big contract. No one was giving it to him for the longest time, and it seemed like he would have to settle coming back to the Giants. But the Colts went out there and threw him a big contract, and he left, which he's the only starter out of the 11 defenders from last year. Giants had one of the top defenses last year, only lose one starter. And Hankins replaced him with second-round pick Dalvin Tomlinson.
And he's supposed to be really, really
good. Yeah, I mean, Alabama boy, Nick Saban churns him out. There's NFL factory, almost.
Especially on the defensive side of things, too.
There's been a couple of busts in terms of offensive guys, but yeah, defense.
Their defense, it's just so sound and so... They're coached so well. Yeah. They're coming in ready to go to be... They're already disciplined as an NFL player. Ready. They're just ready to come in and do a job, get in the office, get out of the office, and win. Yeah, that's it.
And the closest thing you can find to NFL football is probably Alabama.
Right.
And SEC football in general. So I think wasn't a ton of holes coming in for the Giants. The ones that they had or were created by guys leaving, they filled. So I think it was a good offseason overall. Like you said, one of the more productive ones in the NFL. It's always nice to not have a ton of holes. It's even better to fill them. So, one of the reasons why the Giants are playoff contenders this year, possibly Super Bowl.
Right, and you know, I want to just touch on you spoke about Evan Engram a little bit. I'm obviously a big fan of Evan Engram. At the time of the pick, I don't know what Giants fans really felt with Evan Ingram. It was very iffy. But for me, I was one of them that really didn't like it. I was one of those as well. I did not think it addressed any type of need. I was ready for them to draft linebacker out of Alabama whose name is escaping
Reuben
me.
Foster.
Yeah, Reuben Foster. Yeah. Thank you. I thought that was a surefire thing. And now Evan Ingram apparently is having a good camp. He had one of his best days this week. And Jonathan Casillas is apparently stepping up and doing some big things in camp as well. And I don't know. I just think that maybe the Foster pick at the time was ideal. But now, Evan Ingram, the way he's stepping up. And like you said, we need a guy who's going to split the seam. And the last guy I can really remember doing that, maybe not well, but doing it effectively for the Giants, Kevin Boss was really good at splitting a seam. And like even Martellus Bennett, when he was with us, was more of an outside threat. They like to run the wheel with him and get him down the sideline. One play I just remember, it sticks in my head, was him going up and getting the ball down the sideline for a touchdown, I think against the Eagles, was Bennett. But I remember Kevin Boss always running that bump and seam play right up the middle. And I think that's what Ingram's going to offer. He might run more out of the slot, which could take targets away from Sterling Shepard. But I'm also not too worried about that because Shepard wasn't much of a tight touchdown threat. He was more of a kind of a speed guy.
Move the sticks guy.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like Steve Smith was back in the day. And now we're finally finding that guy who's going to go up and get the ball over a defender. Because, to be honest, Odell Beckham, who is great one-on-one coverage, one of the best man-on-man wide receivers in the league. You could throw it up and he'll go get it, but he doesn't have that size to go up and get it. He's not like the guy who's going to overpower you. He's going to outjump you. Evan Ingram, he's just a matchup nightmare.
Right.
You know, like it's just so hard. It's too quick for a linebacker and too big for a nickel corner.
Yeah.
It's just the best thing, in my opinion, that it's going to be for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, you said, obviously, Odell Beckham, to find a hole in this game is nitpicking, but if there is one, it's his size. He's only 5'11", which is why the Giants going to have Brandon Marshall, who's 6'4", right. And then Evan Ingram, who's a big, they're both matchup nightmares. Yeah, I think Eli loves to use his tight ends.
Especially in the red zone.
Yeah, and even though they haven't given him any great ones, but like, a guy like Kevin Boss or a Bear Pascal
or Jake Ballard, these guys
are not supposed to be NFL tight ends, and then Eli makes them into respectable tight ends, and then look at it, Kevin Boss looked like a very good NFL tight end, goes to Oakland, never heard from him again.
Yeah.
So Eli turns these guys into NFL tight ends, and he likes to use them well. Bennett was probably the best one he's had since Shockey, talent-wise. He obviously turned Kevin Boss into something that he probably wasn't. But yeah, I mean, you got like guys like Brandon Myers, absolutely terrible.
Oh, he was so bad when he came.
Larry Donnell, probably the most frustrating Giant I've ever watched.
Oh my!
Hold
on to the ball.
He either didn't catch it, or if he did, he fumbled immediately afterwards.
Crazy.
Very glad that we moved on from him. And Will Tye's
made Will Tye look good too.
And
though.
Will Tye, yeah,
and he's still a Giant.
I like Will Tye. It's gonna be an uphill battle for him to make the roster this year because of Ingram and Ellison being added,
and even Jarrell Adams, who looks like he's coming on really strong.
And he's got huge size. He's 6'5".
Yeah.
So yeah, he did turn Will Tye into something that maybe he wasn't. He undrafted guy, tight end at Stony Brook. Not much expected of him, but yeah, he was a pretty good receiver. Especially when it came to either Larry Zinnell or Will Tye, you knew Will Tye would at least hang on to the football.
Right.
So he was definitely the preferred tight end last year, but they made big upgrades
And he wasn't
there.
Afraid to go up the middle. He was just a little undersized.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely undersized, which is probably his biggest flaw. He looked more like a fullback, but he wasn't a great blocker as a fullback.
They tried to use him as a fullback.
They tried it,
yeah.
But the blocking wasn't quite there, which is what I think Red Ellison will do this year.
I agree with that. And, you know, the Giants didn't have a true fullback on the roster the last two seasons, I think. They didn't have one. I think the last one they had was John Connor, the Terminator. And
they had Nikita Whitlock as well.
Oh, right. But he never really played that
doubled
much.
The fullback hasn't been a big part of McAdoo's offense, which is strange because he came from Green Bay where they had John Kuhn, who's one of the best fullbacks we've seen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but McAdoo's not big on the fullback, but so I think they probably use maybe extra tight ends this year.
Yeah.
So maybe Will Tye makes it, but
Will Tye, if anything, Will Tye is going to have to do, he's not going to make the roster as a threat type piece because that's obviously Evan Ingram's job.
Yeah.
The way Will Tye is going to make this roster is that they slide Ellison in, like you said, in the backfield and make Will Tye block on the line. And he's not a bad blocker on the line. He is not good in the backfield.
No.
He's all right on the line. And he can make a living doing that. It's just whether or not the Giants are going to be willing to pay him next year or the year after to say, we're going to keep you to just get your hands up and stay on an offensive line. And it might not necessarily be worth it, but that's not my call or yours, you know?
It's just, yeah, whether they keep a fourth tight end or not will really depend on... Because if they keep a fourth tight end, they maybe keep one less linebacker, one less corner, or a less lineman. So it depends how Jerry Reese and McAdoo want to configure the whole roster. But I think it's plausible to have four tight ends, but we'll see.
And, you know, one thing that I just want to touch on, because you brought up the defense a little bit. Defensively speaking, you said the Giants are one of the best in the league, and they proved that last year, only lost one starter. But linebackers have really been a question mark, for lack of a better term,
since
for the
Antonio
Giants.
Pierce left.
Yeah.
Middle linebacker's been a bit of a revolving door.
Right. There's no real Mike piece. And, you know, the Giants are looking and looking and looking. I don't know who's going to be that guy this year. I think last year we saw some great showing from Casillas, who wasn't supposed to be anything special, and then all of a sudden came on strong, gets named captain.
Yeah.
Really out of nowhere. But do you think it continues? Do you think it was a flash in the pan? What's your, like, overall feeling there?
I think Casillas can repeat that. I remember...
He was second on team in tackles, right?
Yeah, but I think only just behind Landon Collins.
Yeah.
And like you said, defensive captain. When he was named captain last year, I remember talking to my roommate, who's a big Casillas fan, loves the way he flies around the field. And I'm like, how is Jonathan Casillas our defensive captain? Is he even going to start? And he proved me wrong. He was great. I think he was a career special teamer, which is why I was doubting him. He never really was a starting linebacker anywhere. We got him from the Patriots, but I guess Belichick turned him into something. I don't know. But I think he played well. If you look at the Giants linebackers last year, there's no big names there.
No.
They rotated four guys into three spots. You got Casillas, Devin Kennard, Keenan Robinson, and Kelvin Shepherd.
Right.
No, none of them are big names, but they played really well together. And
no Wani Unga.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you had not big names, but better names than we've had in the past. and they're playing behind a great defensive line and in front of a great secondary, so you don't need them to be anything special just to hold their own. I think they played better than they really are last year. And I think they could do it again this year. I think Kennard, his rookie year was great. He had a really bent. He was injury prone his second year, but then showed flashes again last year of being good. So if he can put it all together, I think he could be a very good outside linebacker. I think Casillas is good. I like Keenan Robinson in coverage a lot. And they replaced Kelvin Shepherd with perhaps the middle linebacker of the future in B.J. Goodson.
Yeah,
a lot of great things coming out of camp on him. They're excited about the way he's moving around out there. Apparently he's laying some people out, which some people are saying, don't do that, you're going to hurt our guys. But McAdoo says he loves the Tony setting. I saw one video of Paul Perkins run up the middle and just got absolutely leveled by B.J. Goodson. But he's setting a tone. I think he should be an improvement over Kelvin Shepherd. Out of the four last year, I thought Kelvin Shepherd was the least impressive. Didn't really do a whole lot. He was a run stuffer, couldn't do anything in coverage. But he never blew me away with anything he did. But I think Goodson could be the answer. He was fourth round pick 2 years ago. Just a special teamer last year. But that's how a lot of rookies are. You spend their first year on special teams and you work your way in the next year, especially mid round guys. So I think maybe this is his year to take over at middle linebacker. And if the hype is real, Giants could have their future middle linebacker, which they've been looking for a long time.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, you want to check out a few good pieces in the Giants at EmpireWritesBack.com. One of our writers, Matthew Travis, shout out to Matthew Travis, is writing his weekly previews. You don't want to miss them. They are good stuff. He's giving you week in, week out predictions of scores, players to watch, everything you can imagine. Make sure you check those out. Sean is pumping out depth chart pieces on the Giants right now, and I'm also pumping out depth chart pieces on the Giants right now. Be sure you check those out. But Sean, before we take a quick break, I want you to leave us with the overall feeling you got for the Giants. Where do they end up this season? How does it all end for Big Blue at the end of 2017-2018?
I think it's going to be a good year. I think it's going to be another great year for the defense. They were probably top five last year. I think they finished at least top five again this year. I think the offensive line will still be causing us stress, but I think the offense will, with their new weapons, will expand. I'm going to say 11-5.
Again, repeat 11-5.
Yeah, I go 11-5, but I think 11-5 wins the NFC East this year. I think the Cowboys take a step back. They got Zeke now suspended for six games. They lost a ton in their secondary. So yeah, I think 11-5. I think it's good for the division win. I'm not going to say Super Bowl right now, but I think they make a playoff run. I don't know how far it goes, but they think they win the division and win at least, we'll say at least one playoff game, which is what
I like that.
They couldn't get the playoff win last year against the Packers, but I think this year they get at least one, maybe two, make a little run.
I mean, realistically speaking, I think the best teams in the NFC right now are the Giants, Falcons, and Green Bay are really, really good. Detroit just on the outside of it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Detroit, Tampa Bay, Dallas are all in that kind of group.
That second tier echelon, yeah. You know?
The Seahawks are probably tier one.
Right.
With those other guys
you mentioned. I think, honestly, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, when you get to the playoffs, it's going to be a big-time toss-up and who's hot.
Yeah, and then who gets home field advantage because the Packers are so good at home, Seattle's so good at home. So it really going to depend where those playoff games are being played. But, yeah, I think the Giants, they definitely get into the playoffs. Maybe they make a little run. We'll see.
All right, folks. You heard it here first. Sean Dyer, co-site expert, saying the Giants going to make a one-game playoff run at a minimum. We'll find out how that goes come time to watch it. But right now, we're still in the preseason, and we're going to take a little break. When we come back, you didn't hear from him much in the first block, but we're going to bring John Carroll out to talk all things Buffalo Bills. You won't want to miss it. Empire Rights back. We'll be right back. And folks, we are back, and I'm sure you've been sitting on the edge of your seat waiting to hear all things from Bills Mafia. We got John Carroll, our site contributor. There it is, that beautiful voice of John Carroll. John, the Buffalo Bills are perhaps one of the biggest enigmas in the NFL, I think would be the perfect term to describe.
That's a very, very bold term to use. I agree with that.
I don't know. Recently, they're just making splashes all over the place. What are your overall feelings? Sammy Watkins, not a Bill anymore. Yep. What are you feeling about this team right now?
The Bills' offseason has been full of ups and downs. It's just an absolute roller coaster. They fired Rex Ryan, which is something that everybody wanted. You know, move on from him. He was a joke of a head coach. His regime was a joke. Produced Pro Bowl defensive players, but had a bad defense, so that made no sense. But he had these star players going to the Pro Bowl and winning Pro Bowl MVP, Lorenzo Alexander, but then the defense was really bad. Tyrod Taylor played even better than the year before, and they restructured his contract. But then they fired Rex. They hired Sean McDermott, a guy from a winning organization out in Carolina, and he's immediately took over. And then their GM, Doug Riley, got fired the day after the draft. So that was an interesting thing to do. I don't know why you would part ways with your GM after the draft, but he did make a splash. They got a first-round pick from Kansas City last year. So that for next year, so that's going to be hopefully be something, at least a decent pick. And yeah, and then they went on with their draft, and then the Bills played their first preseason game on Thursday against Minnesota, and Sammy Watkins and Tyrod Taylor were connecting pretty well. They were making a lot of completions, and then the news came out on Friday that Sammy Watkins was traded to the Rams for cornerback E.J. Raines, and that's it. So I don't know. It's been interesting. A lot of ups and downs, and they're building. They said they need to build a defense, and then they destroy their offense. So who really knows what they're trying to do there? I think they're trying to build for next season, and they traded. They have six. They now have six picks in the first three rounds of next year's draft.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, and it's something to look forward to. But they're trying to build for next. Obviously, tried to build for next year, but they kind of threw in the towel for this year by making the trade. They also traded Ronald Darby this year. They sent him to the Eagles for Jordan Matthews. So they lost receiver and gained receiver. They lost a cornerback and gained another cornerback, and they gained high draft picks for them. But it is a slight downgrade from what they had. And building for next year seems to be the move, but it is only August, so it's kind of discouraging as a Bills fan to see that they kind of threw in the towel already. But who knows? Maybe they weren't even going to contend this year anyway, or maybe they were, but maybe the moves will pay off in the long run, but that's just going to have to come down to time and have to see where they draft and see where it goes.
You know, John, I'm not the best judge of tone, but it doesn't seem like you're thrilled with a lot of things that are going on in Buffalo right now.
I'm definitely not excited about losing a guy like Sammy Watkins. He was on a contract year, and they didn't pick up his option, but I expected him to have a big year with the Bills because he wants to obviously get that huge, massive contract that I think all the receivers are about to get. I think he wanted to be part of that, and I think he needed to have a monster year in order to do that and finally live up to the hype, and then they traded him. So the one time I was really looking forward to seeing Sammy Watkins and not expecting injury, they traded him. So, I mean, it's definitely questionable, but it could pay off. And I hear the terms that Bills Mafia are using is post-Brady era, which means, obviously, they're trying to build for a good team in the future when Tom Brady isn't on the Patriot. But nothing's even come out about Tom Brady retiring anytime soon. So I think fans are just getting a little upset again about how, like, Tom Brady's been dominating the division. But I don't really think building a team for a Tom Brady era that has no ending in the near future is really ideal either. The Bills have a lot of instableness in their front office. They haven't had a GM for very long, so I think that trading picks that could help you win now for picks that could help you win in 3 years when you might not even be there is not the best decision. But if they have all the faith in the world in the new GM, Brandon Bean, then this could be a good move. But if he's just going to end up being another guy who's fired after 3 years, then all these picks that he is trading for ends up being pretty useless. So it comes down to what the owner does and what the Coolers want to do with Brandon Bean. Because if he's gone, then the picks are useless. He stays, they're golden. But yeah, I don't know. It's like two steps back and then one step forward. You know, there's no consistency. There's no, just the only thing we had was hope, and then they take the hope away, and then. So now the team's still out there, and they still have faith in Tyrod Taylor. But
still got 16 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I think it's an interesting. I mean, I understand making a move, trying to build a roster for the post Brady era, but every year it seems like Brady says he's playing another 5 years, and they just keep saying that every year. Mm-hmm. So there's really, like you said, there's no, the post Brady era isn't in sight. Like, you don't know when it's gonna be.
Exactly.
So. But it's similar to the NBA. It's with the Golden State Warriors. It's like, are we going to try and battle them now? Or are we just going to wait, and when they're finally broken up, then we'll go after it? And you got some teams that say, all right, they're going to win it every year in the West. We're not going to bother. We're going to tear it down, get draft picks, and work towards the future. And you have some teams like the Houston Rockets that are going to go for it and trade for Chris Paul, try and trade for Melo. Like, we're going to battle them. Right now, in terms of looking at the Patriots, I don't think the Bills or anyone in that division are really in
a position. Is a race for second place.
Yeah, they're not in a position. Yeah. There's nothing they can do really to do what the Rockets did and go for it. Anyway, that's going to be doing that, it's the Broncos, it's the Chiefs, it's the Raiders, right. It's the Steelers.
I think the Raiders have the best chance this year. In my opinion, the Raiders have the best chance this year dethroning the Patriots.
Yeah, I think they should keep Brady off the field.
If Derek Carr doesn't get hurt last year,
Oakland could have definitely been in the Super Bowl last year. Yeah. If Derek Carr doesn't get hurt.
Absolutely. The one way you beat Brady is what the Giants did. You keep him off the field with a good running game, and you pressure him. And that's what Khalil Mack can do. And then in Denver, Von Miller can do it. So you need a pass rusher. And the Bills have that a little bit, Lorenzo Alexander, but they're not close enough to where they need to go for it. I don't know if you need to blow it up, per se, in the NFL. NFL, not so much rebuilding type of thing.
I wouldn't even call what the Bills did was necessarily a blow up.
No, it's not. But if that's what's in the future, I don't think that's what they should be doing. And it's going to be terrible for you and Bills fans to hear. But yes. I think there's some similarity to what the Bills right now with the Cleveland Browns. But the Bills are a little further in advance.
They have a franchise quarterback.
The Browns went and just loaded up on draft picks, and this year they had 11 of them. Next year they got 11 of them. But like you said, next year you have 2 firsts, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. So next year, maybe the year you make the splash where you make that push going at Brady's throne and you're trying to add some talent in the draft. And like you said, at least you didn't just get rid of Sammy Watkins and Darby for picks. You also got Jordan Matthews to replace Watkins, and you got EJ Gaines to replace Darby.
They're good players.
They are. They're good players.
They're solid, yeah.
It's a downgrade from Watkins and Darby, but it's not enough of a downgrade to say, because when you look at the amount that you downgraded, add in the picks you got, I wouldn't say it's a complete loss of a trade. Obviously, the outlook on 2017 is now a little bit dimmer.
Right.
But now the outlook 2018 and beyond is brighter.
Six picks in the first three rounds is pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a lot of room for improvement and a lot of room for error, too, because you never know how picks are going to work out.
Yeah. But the more picks you have, the more you could move them, up in the draft, you move back, you could do a lot of things.
There's a lot to play with.
If you have 2 first-rounders, maybe you package them together and you move up into the top 5 next year if you're not already there, and you grab a franchise quarterback if it's not Tyrod.
I think Tyrod could be the guy, though.
I think it could be, too, but next year's quarterback class is deep, so maybe you're looking, if there's a guy you fall in love with, maybe you move up for him. If not, You sit there, you grab two guys in the first round that you surround Tyrod with a weapon or somebody on the defense. So I think it's not going to make fans happy right now. But I think once the dust settles and you look back and you take a look at what exactly you got, what you gave up, it's not a bad trade. But I think it may be a little, like you said, I think Sammy Watkins could have had a breakout year.
Yeah, I think
contract year guys usually have big years, especially in the NFL. That's what they looking for, that money. And NFL is a what have you done for me lately kind of league. Like, it doesn't matter if you had three great years, which Sammy Watkins has been injury plagued for 3 years. Plagued, but even if he was a Pro Bowler 3 years in a row, if he comes out and puts up a dud this year, he's not getting all that money. So this was the year that maybe he comes out and blows us all away. Because coming out of Clemson, he was unbelievable. He was easily, he goes before Mike Evans and Odell Beckham Jr., and people look back at him.
He was traded up for him. Bills gave up a first-round pick in 2015 to get up to guarantee that they get him.
Right, and people look back and laugh at the Bills and say, oh my God, you took Sammy Watkins, you had Odell and Mike Evans. At the time, you would have never taken one of those two.
No, and Odell was hurt.
Yeah.
Odell was injured. Oh, Evans was nowhere near the caliber of a wide receiver that Sammy Watkins. Watkins was so dominant.
Oh, far and away the best wide receiver in that class.
Without
no
a doubt.
Question
without a doubt. Like, you cannot.
And he's the most NFL ready at the time.
Absolutely. You cannot blame everything. The Bills at all.
And and health has been his biggest issue. Yep. When he's on the field, he plays well. It's not like when he's out there, he's terrible. He's just not out there enough. Right. And if he's healthy, maybe he is the receiver that everyone thought he would be. And maybe he's better than Odell. I mean, maybe not better than Odell, but he could be better than Mike Evans. And possibly Odell. You don't know without a full season of health, and maybe he does that out in L.A. now, but obviously, for Bills fans, it'll be more frustrating if he puts together that sick career year and he's not in Buffalo.
Right.
After waiting 3 years for it.
Right. And, you know, John, I just want to ask you, because you're a big believer in Tyrod, and I'm as well. I think there's reason to believe that Tyrod could be the guy of the future and will be the guy of the future, but it's tough to watch and be a quarterback in the time when you see your best really good threat that you were going to have as a quarterback go.
Yeah.
He's gone. What do you think, if you could get in the mind of Tyrod right now, what do you think he's thinking? Because he has the talent to be that number one guy.
Yeah, if I'm tired right now, I'm very scared. It's really hard. He says he blocks out all the outside noise. It's very difficult. But if I'm tired, I see that you just traded away my best target and someone who I was just clicking with hours before on the field. You trade him away. You trade him to a different coast, a different time zone. And then you're sitting there saying the Bills have two picks in the first round, two picks in the second round, and two picks in the third round. So even if I'm an average quarterback, they have six picks. They're going to try and get a quarterback and replace me. So if I'm Tyrod, now I have to play with this massive chip on my shoulder. He already had to get his contract restructured. He already thought he wasn't going to survive the Sean McDermott move. They already thought he was going to get moved on. They retained him, and now they do this. So no matter what he really does, he kind of has to keep playing and keep playing for his job. So if I'm Tyrod, I'm like focused on the season and more dialed in on that, but I'm also very worried because they have six picks now to replace him if he's not what they're looking for.
Right, you know, Sean just said the NFL is a what have you done for me lately thing, and nobody, they take away your best option, and it doesn't matter that they do that.
Yeah.
They still want you to have a good year,
which is ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous.
It is. I think.
So how do you keep? How could you even keep playing at that point and play well? And then you're gonna have with that team and the options that he has, you're gonna have bad weeks.
Jordan Matthews is on his, like, when he's dropping and he has his phases where he can't catch the ball. And then who does Sammy have? I mean, they have rookie Zay Jones, but he hasn't played a snap in the NFL yet.
And, like,
you don't know how well they're going to play together.
And you know that, and you've noted that Zay Jones is a very, very talented guy.
Yeah.
But
he's a catch machine.
Has never played a game in the
NFL.
Never
played a snap. Yeah.
So when you're Tyrod, how can you go? This is my biggest problem with the entire thing, because you got to look at Tyrod and understand. There's a whole thing of understand a good player or a great player when you have it. Mm-hmm. And Tyrod has the potential to be a great player and be a really good quarterback in the NFL. That's just how I think of him. And when you're not giving that guy the opportunity to do well, you're only giving him the opportunity to fail is entirely not fair. And who's to say you need to be fair in the NFL? But if you're a Bills fan and you're rooting for Tyrod,
absolutely.
And you watch this whole thing happen, it's got to be discouraging.
It's definitely discouraging. I mean, they have a good offensive line, and they have Shady McCoy as of now. I mean, they seem to be blowing up their offense. But, I mean, he has a good O-line, but that doesn't, I mean, a good O-line doesn't help if you still have to stand in the pocket and wait for a receiver to get open for that long. So, I mean, it's definitely discouraging to see. Like, you want Tyra to be the guy, and, like, he's played two, like, first Pro Bowl quarterback in over 10 years, since Drew Bledsoe was the last one before Tyrod.
Jesus.
He gets named a back-to-back Pro Bowl. But like they've been saying, and we've been saying all day, it doesn't matter what you used to do, it matters what you are capable of doing. And if Tyrod has to double his workload and doesn't have any open threats, and Sammy Watkins is gone, and if Jordan Matthews fizzles out, then he really has nothing besides just handing the ball off to Shady. And you can't tell a franchise quarterback by someone who does that. So it's definitely... It's definitely a bad feeling, and it's a sinking feeling, but most of all, it's just shocking to, like, to see the news of back-to-back in, like, 10 minutes that Sammy Watkins is gone, and your defense, your best defensive cornerback's gone, and now Tyrod has to play, is already playing with a chip on his shoulder, has even more of a chip on his shoulder.
Exactly.
It's just happened so quick. It's just a shocking move. It's mind-blowing how quickly it unraveled.
Yeah, I mean, John wrote on the site an article about why Tyrod should be the man. And he loads Tyrod's last two seasons. If you look at the statistics, they're practically identical.
Yeah.
If anything, 2016 was a little bit better. And after 2015, the Bills give him a contract extension. He puts up similar numbers, if not a little bit better, in 2016. And they ask him to restructure his contract. He said, give them money back.
Which he agreed to, which is...
Yeah,
he didn't have
he
to.
Wants,
he did.
He wants to be the guy.
He knows in Buffalo he has a chance to be the franchise quarterback,
yeah,
and that's what he's been dreaming of.
He's been
and
a team player.
They've been screaming him.
Yeah, he's been a team player. He wants to be there, and yeah, they've put very little faith in him.
It's crazy,
especially now because you have a guy with a new GM. He has no allegiance to Tyrod. He didn't bring him in here. He didn't give him these contracts, and now, like you just saw, he had no allegiance to Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby, two of their better players, and they're gone. So Tyrod can't be found.
And you know what it is too with anybody who's involved with a big time league, a big time sports league. Down to the refs and the umpires in baseball, and everybody wants their 5 minutes of fame, and this guy will absolutely blow up Tyrod Taylor just to get his name in the papers. Because people love to do it. It's just what guys love to do. If he's going to draft a quarterback, and it's going to cause controversy, and you get Sean McDermott in the news, he's going to love it. He doesn't care because, like Sean said, he has no allegiance to Tyrod. He could bring in a guy next year, throw it over your shoulder. It doesn't even matter to him. You know?
Yeah, they could take, like I said, the first the six picks in three rounds. They could just take a quarterback and just say, oh, Tyra's got competition just to, because he wants to. And Tyra's not his guy. Sammy Watkins and Ronald Darby weren't his guy, and he traded them without even really making it obvious. He just did it. So.
Sean McDermott said this offseason that the quarterback position in Buffalo was a competition. It was not Tyrod's job.
But
competing with T.J. Yates,
who
and Nathan
awful
Peterman
on Thursday night.
Nathan Peterman was a fourth-round pick out of Pittsburgh.
Fourth-round pick out of Pitt.
He was an average college quarterback. And McDermott's not going to – doesn't even come out and put allegiance into Tyrod and say this is his
job. I just don't get it.
Like, it's one thing if they just drafted a first or second round quarterback, but a fourth round quarterback in TJ Yates, who is not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
No.
To say that Tyrod's got to earn his spot and win that job, I get that everyone's got to earn their spot.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to just tell Tyrod behind closed doors, just tell the whole team everyone's got to earn their spots. You don't go out in the media and say that Tyrod, after being your quarterback
like
for the last 2 years,
and he's getting better.
He's improved, and you say now you have to earn your spot. T.J. Yates might come take it from you. No, he's not.
He's not.
He's just not going to happen.
Nothing could happen in the preseason that's going to make T.J. Yates overtake Tyrod Taylor. It's not going to happen. So there's no point in saying, nope, Tyrod's got to earn his spot. He hasn't done enough yet, because he has.
For the last 4 minutes, I'm not even a Bills fan. The last 4 minutes have been more aggravated I've ever been in my entire life being a Giants fan.
I don't know how you do it, John, to have been a Bills fan your whole life.
How do you make it this far? I'd be a Chargers fan at this point if I were still a Bills fan.
He asked me today if the Giants fans are taking applications now that Sammy's gone.
I was enraged at that point, but it's questionable. But
oh my god, I'm fuming at that conversation. You know, guys.
There's one more team that you could be worse if you're.
There's one more team we'll get there, but first, John, man. John's the best Bills guy we got, and you got to really check out some of his writing because he really keeps you up to date on all things Bills, and if you're a Bills Mafia person, you're going to love what this guy's putting out. So, John, we really appreciate all you had to say about Buffalo Bills,
problem.
And he's sticking around because we're still talking AFC East, and we come back possibly the worst team in the NFL, the New York Jets. We're talking about them when we come back. Empire Rights back. We'll be right back. The heat died down a little bit after that last block after talking Bills, but it's just going to boil back up. None of us are Jets fans here, but it's just too fun to miss out talking about
Jets football. Why
not? I mean,
makes me feel a little bit better.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you're an AFC's guy, you're a Bills guy, but I had the distinct honor, the pleasure, if you will, of going to Jets training camp and getting to watch everything that's going on. And you know, man, you watch Quincy Enunwa go down, you're like, God, what do we got to do?
Can't catch a break.
They can't catch anything.
No.
pun entirely intended. Their best target right now, Robbie Anderson. God bless Robbie Anderson. The man looks like a high school athlete. He is like 6'5", tall guy, but lanky as anyone I've ever seen. He looks like if you took a box of uncooked spaghetti and just kind of glued together five pieces, one the body, two the arms, two the legs, that's Robbie Anderson. This man is just so lanky and long. He put on weight, according to sources, he put on weight going into this offseason. And Robbie Anderson, if you're a listener of this podcast, I'm not ripping on you. You're fast and you're talented, but you're a slot guy. You cannot play on the outside in this league. I don't care how tall you are. You weigh 170 pounds soaking wet. He's just not the guy. No. Quincy Enunwa could have been a very good wide receiver one.
I was excited going into this year about Quincy Enunwa. I thought he was going to be. He was great last year. I think. He's not a number one receiver in the NFL. He was better as a three with Decker and Marshall. But I don't think he would have been a terrible wide receiver one, especially for the Jets. They needed something like that. He's got a lot of speed, and it's terrible.
It's so upsetting because, you know, the thing with the Jets going into this year, and it seems like every year is the quarterback situation. And, you know, they get rid of Fitzmagic, and they let him walk, and that's... I thought that was a great decision.
Yeah, the Fitzmagic had ran out.
He wasn't...
He ran out of Buffalo.
Right. He wasn't there when he started. And, you know, he wasn't going to be the guy. And they have two young quarterbacks, Bryce Petty, who I think could be a good NFL quarterback, Christian Hackenberg, who I also think could be a good NFL quarterback. I think Christian Hackenberg, like Sean just lightly said, is the better option. I wrote about it. I think he could be. And they go out and get, you know, they get McCown, like a Josh McCown, who... Look, he's been a starter, he's been a backup, he's been around the block. He, to me, should be there more of a coach to the underdogs.
He's
going to show them the ropes,
right.
And that should have been it. That should have been the end of it. And then Quincy Enunwa gets hurt, and it's like, all right, well, now
the icing on the cake.
Because offensively, the running, I mean, they had Matt Forte and Bilal Powell, who are not... Forte's getting a little long in the tooth, but those are solid running backs.
And Forte's still hurt. You don't know when he's going to be back on the field.
Yeah, but when you look at their receivers, all there was Enunwa. And tight end was, after last year, they just didn't even have a tight end on the roster, how little they used one. They have Austin Safarian Jenkins and Jordan Leggett, but I think Leggett could be pretty good.
And Safarian Jenkins has never lived up to his potential.
No, he's just got size, and that's about it. But so, they're whoever was under center... Their only reliable target was Enunwa, and now he's gone. So that's just gonna hurt whichever young quarterback they pick, Petty or Hackenberg.
It's gotta be Hackenberg.
I think it's gonna be Hackenberg. I think McCown starts the year. But when this losses are gonna pile up quickly. It's gonna be quickly
by week five, six,
or something like that. Then I think you move to a younger guy. But whichever younger guy you pick, I think it should be Hackenberg. Part of a young quarterback's development, they gotta have protection from their offensive line. And at least one or two reliable targets.
Well,
who is Hackenberg going to throw this ball to?
Right. And you know what it is? Like, every young quarterback that usually comes into the league has a veteran wide receiver who is going to be like, look, kid, you're here to throw the ball and do your job. I'll catch it.
Yeah.
Just put it on me. I'll catch it. Who are his options are, like I said, Robbie Anderson, Ardarius Stewart, and Chad Hansen. Nobody's going out and buying those jerseys.
No.
Options who...
Two of them are rookies that are also now learning the ropes. They're trying to transition as well.
None of them... I mean, Ardarius Stewart was a third-round pick, and I think Hansen was a fourth. So, like mid to late talent there, but they're not going to blow up the stat sheet. They're not going to do anything substantial. Darius Stewart's an Alabama guy, but we've seen Alabama players bust as offensive players. We've seen them not do well. Chad Hansen is quick, and he is more of a slot guy, and that's probably where they're going to play him, but it doesn't, he's just, there's nobody there for any of those three quarterbacks to throw the ball to and think, this guy's going to go up and get it. If I put him out on the island, he'll go get the ball. Anything like that. And it's just tough. It's just tough to be a Jet fan right now. I think at a minimum, they win maybe two games.
I think two games would be a great season for them. I think more so one. I mean, there was a tweet that now that Cutler is playing for Miami, they have a chance at two more wins. And I think Cutler is awful, but I think they have a much better team than the Jets outside of quarterbacks, and they'll probably still beat them.
Their defense is still stellar in Miami.
Yeah, so they. They play the Bills twice and the Dolphins twice.
Yeah,
maybe it's tough. It's tough for any team to, aside from the Patriots, to win all the divisional games. So maybe the Jets can not get one win there. But I guess the one bright spot they have in terms of receivers is now these young guys, Stewart and Hansen, are going to get a ton of reps and play almost the entire year and develop, and that's good for the receivers. But in terms of a developing quarterback, it's like we said, what have you done for me lately? And it could be so quickly where you only have a small window to prove yourself.
Exactly.
And if it takes him a full year, Hackenberg, a full year of drop passes, and it just becomes, because when you can't rely on your receivers, you try and force things, and you throw into tight windows, and that turns into turnovers.
And it turns into the hanging head. Everybody's seen it.
You're throwing picks because you don't trust your receiver to get open, so you're throwing it way too early, you're making these bad decisions. Turns into turnovers, and then quickly New York media will just destroy Hackenberg. Oh, yeah. He's not an NFL quarterback.
And the name offers you so much. He's a hack.
Oh, like, hack, exactly. Yeah, it'll be headlines everywhere. Headlines everywhere. And then they're going to probably gonna have a top pick next year. They're going to be as bad as they are. The number one pick.
They got
him. And if Hackenberg is struggling and throwing interceptions.
As you just said, the quarterback depth is incredible.
It's a deep QB class, and they're going to take another one. You start the cycle over again. They need to give Hackenberg a chance, but not jump on him and say, oh, he's throwing some picks. Really look at what he's working with.
Right. You got to give him the option.
What do you legitimately expect Hackenberg to do in this offense? What do you want to see from him as a Jet fan? You can't expect much. Stay healthy.
Don't
throw too many interceptions. I mean, because you can't ask him to trust his receivers.
No.
There's no trust.
They're all trying to earn a job at this point.
Yeah, if he came in last year, his rookie year, and you gave him reps last year, which they should have when the season was over, and he's throwing to Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, and Quincy Enunwa, then you say, you should be trusting your receivers. Just, they're professionals. They're going to get it. You can't tell him to do that with this squad.
There's no chemistry there either, so it's not even like he can just try and read what they're going to do. He's pretty much a lame duck.
Right, but that's one of the positives, I guess, in terms of chemistry, is they're all coming in the league together. Hackenberg's got a year under his belt, but no playing time. So these guys are all kind of just learning the ropes together, and hopefully it's a future towards something. I don't know. I mean, offensively, the real bright spot for the Jets is on the defense side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
First round pick, Jamal Adams. Second round pick, his fellow safety, Marcus May. Both seem to be big time leaders, big time players.
They're clicking in that camp right now.
Yeah, they are the real thing. They're the people to watch.
Jets this year. And you know, when I went to camp, and the whole thing about Adams is that he just seems like the future. You know, everybody is breathing the light into Jamal Adams. It's all the yearbooks got him all over it. Pictures on the stadium are all him posing with everything that you can imagine. And it's just, it's going to be his team in 2 years' time at the latest. And that's fine. I think that's a great thing for the Jets. But the problem with everything is that as good as Adams is going to be and as much of a leader, he'll be a captain. You said it in at least 2 years.
I think
he could be the captain next year.
Why not this year? Look at who they have on their defense. Look who they have on their defense. Sheldon Richardson's not a captain.
No.
Sheldon Richardson's is just not a leader at
Muhammad
Wilkerson or Leonard Williams could take it, but the real leader on the defense is David Harris. They cut him.
Yeah.
So I think Adams is the defensive captain next year, definitely, and I think he has a possibility to get it this year.
Right, and I think the hardest part for the Jets right now is it's exciting. Their defense is good. Their secondary is everybody's saying how good their secondary looks. They're young and they're all clicking together, and that's very good for them. Their line is good. Linebackers are all right, and which is unbelievable as Jets fans. That is a good thing to see with an offense that's going to struggle so much this year. At least you're excited on the defensive side of the ball, but when your quarterback is probably going to throw more interceptions than touchdowns this year, it's just going to get aggravating.
Yeah.
Because the defense can only do so much.
Exactly. If you keep throwing interceptions and the defense have to keep going back on the field.
And they get tired. We've seen it as Giants fans for years. Yeah. We've seen it.
If you turn the ball over, no defense can play as much like that much on the field. No. Everybody's a human, everybody gets tired. They get worn down. And then the points start to pile up, and then it gets to the point where your offense can't possibly keep up, and they're trying to throw balls even deeper downfield, forcing the even tighter coverage to make up for a deficit, and it's just a vicious cycle of turnover, opponent touchdown. But
yeah, especially in that division too.
But then you see, obviously, nobody's giving the Jets a chance this year. It's 0-16, 1-15, 2-14. You see the Jets defensive players saying that people can say as much as they want. We know we have a good defense, and we're gonna prove people wrong.
What I think is that if the Jets end up winning, like, let's say even say 5-6 wins, and I know that's stretching it a lot, but if they, let's say, win 5-6 games, everyone's going to say, oh, the Jets defense is just that good that they were able to get that many wins. So I think if you're a Jets fan, and they, even if, like, a little bit of hope would be, like, even a 4-5-6 win season, how good your defense is, because you know that it'll be all on the defense, just holding opponents, like, even giving the offense, oh, score like a touchdown and we can win this game.
Yeah, they're gonna have to win. So like that's what 14, it comes down to.
If they can pull off a few of those, this defense is for real. And then this is what we got. And if we get a quarterback, we're in good shape. But that's a much easier said than done.
No, absolutely. And you know, I think that Sean said their D line is great, and it is. It's great.
A lot of talent.
And Leonard Williams is incredible. He's incredible. And Wilkerson is really great. You know, it's just like...
You could have made the last couple years, you could have made the argument that Leonard Williams should have been the number one pick in his draft. Fell to the Jets.
Yep.
And you could have made an argument that Jamal Adams was deserving of the number one pick this year, and he fell to the Jets.
Yeah.
So you have two young guys that could be the cornerstones of your defense for 8-10 years, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And their offense is just the part that's just going to be... It's just going to be bad, and Jets fans are going to have to get through it, but you really never know. I mean, we're saying this about seeing them play a game together. So, what if they go out there and somehow, some way, Ardarius Stewart, Robbie Anderson are just clicking with Hackenberg? Who's to say? I mean, we could go out, that's like a lot of hope and speculation, yeah. But you really don't know.
Any given Sunday.
And like, that's the best part of professional sports.
Yeah.
Anybody can beat anyone at any time.
Absolutely. Especially... We don't know. Maybe Brady goes down with an injury, and obviously Patriots still win with Jimmy G. But that gives anybody a better chance to beat them,
right?
And the Jets could run into somebody's backup quarterback any week and get a win. You never know what's going to happen down the road,
especially with defenses. Yeah, like, their defense is so good.
If somebody on their schedule's quarterback goes down and they're going up against that backup quarterback, that defense will take advantage of a backup quarterback and could win your game.
Yeah.
And you know, with the quarterbacks in that division. We talked about Tyrod. Tyrod's a good quarterback, but same problem with Hackenberg.
Tannehill's already down.
Yeah, Tannehill's down.
So we already got a backup quarterback in Miami.
Yeah, and that's just an awful quarterback in Miami.
Two games a year, we got to have Cutler.
Right, and those should be wins. I don't think the Miami Dolphins are anything to bat an eye at.
I think they're a good team, but watch out for when Cutler starts to turn the ball
over.
That's
what I'm saying. Especially in a defense that's going to get turnovers. That Jets defense is going to merit turnovers. And, you know, look at the Bills. We just talked about the blow up of the offense. They can split with the Bills. Sorry, John.
The Bills can probably might. If the Bills have a bad offense, that's all the Jets need. It's just
exactly.
Bills, it could be losing 13-10 to the Bills or winning 13-10. Who knows?
Yeah.
Games will at least be close.
Well, you know, I mean, that's pretty much the toughest speculation of the Jets is when do we get out of whatever we're in, and that doesn't look anywhere in the near future right now. Like you said, again, this is all speculation, but if they go out in the draft, if they have anywhere in the 1-5 area of top picks, which they probably will.
You have to assume at least top three
at this
point.
At least top three.
Yeah.
Four wins.
And they get
a
quarterback just because, it just starts the cycle.
It starts all over again.
It just starts over. And that's just so aggravating. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote on Friday that if the Jets, only get one thing out of this season, it should be an idea of what the plan is at quarterback moving forward.
Yes.
You know it's not McCown. I have no problem with them starting McCown at the beginning of the year if you don't think those young guys are ready. But at some point, the season will be lost, and it won't take long before they're putting up an O for whatever. You got to get Petty and or Hackenberg reps to find out what you have. Because you can't – because if, say, McCown plays most of the season or it's McCown and Petty, and you never see Hackenberg for 2 years in a row, and then you have a top three pick and you take a new guy, you're really going to give up on Hackenberg without ever seeing him take a snap in the NFL?
Yeah,
you can't do that. You have to find out what exactly what you have with all of these guys. I mean, you know you have McCown. He's just a bridge quarterback. But you have to find out, and you saw some of Petty last year, but you got to find exactly what these two young guys are so you can have an idea of, do we need to take a quarterback in the top three next year? Or do we have our guy quarterback and we can now add something around him in the top three?
Yeah, and I really like Bryce Petty too. But
got a big arm.
Yeah, he was a winner in college.
Yeah.
And he was good at what he did, and he's got the pedigree coming out of Baylor, but again, you never know. Penn State also breeds NFL-ready players.
Well, Hackenberg, coming out of high school, five-star recruit, goes to Penn State with Bill O'Brien, the Texans head coach, was the head coach then. People thought he was destined to be the number one pick when he came out of high school and went to Penn State. Like, oh, give it 3 years, he'll leave. And he started every single game in his 3 years at Penn State, but turned the ball over a little too much to be the number one pick. But second-round pick, that's enough of an investment in a player that you need to see what he can do before you move on.
He could be a diamond in the rough for this Jets team.
Yeah, and that could set up a franchise for a good amount of years if you could find a quarterback not in the first round. Just look at the Seahawks. They find Russell Wilson in the third round. That's a cheap – the most expensive position is quarterback. If you can get a guy not in the first round, you're paying him
– 6 figures?
Yeah.
You're paying him 6 figures?
Yeah, to be your franchise quarterback, and you surround him with – you put all your money into other positions. That could just change a franchise if you could find a quarterback not anywhere past the first round of the draft. So if it works out for the Jets and Hackenberg, it'd be huge. So they got to find out.
Right. And you know what? I think we should ease out of the Jets talk for the time being. We could talk about them another time. But, God, the emotions are running high in the Empire Rights back room right now. This podcast has reached an all-time high of aggravation. Yes. And the NFL season hasn't even started yet, but that's what makes the preseason so good.
Yeah, people say preseason doesn't matter, and absolutely. Listen to us, we're going off, and it clearly does. Definitely does.
Gotta watch.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, we should take it through our final thoughts. I want to do one just because this has been so heated, and we didn't come in prepared to do them, so I think coming off the cuff, I'll just start to give you guys a chance to think. But my final thought this week, and usually I go with the Giants because I'm a Giants guy, and I've already given one that Evan Ingram's going to lead the team in touchdowns this year. So I'm going to stray from that. I'm going to stick with the Jets conversation that we've been talking about. I'm going to say my final thought is Christian Hackenberg is going to be on the field by week four.
Okay.
Early. Week four. And he might merit a win. I think he might get one win.
Between week four and
week four, I think he might get one win. And believe me, it'll be the biggest thing for the Jets. If Christian Hackenberg gets one win, start buying your tickets to be in Canton, Ohio by 2035 because Hackenberg's getting to the Hall of Fame. But that's it. That's my final thought. And we're going to go to Bills Mafia to my left. What do you got, John? What's your final thought of the week?
Final thought of the week? Oh, man. On what? Just the Jets or just in general?
Give me
whatever you want.
What do you think? What are you going
one
into the
final
season?
Thought, prediction.
What's your final prediction?
I think the Giants will host and win a playoff game. I have to agree with that. I think hosting is the key word there. The Giants have done a lot on the road, but I think they will win a playoff game at home this season. I think that's the safest prediction that I have.
Well done.
No hope for the Jets at all, and little less hope for the Bills now. They could have a decent year, but yeah, Giants will win a home playoff game.
Love that, Sean.
All right, my final thought. I'm gonna go with the Jets as well. We're all big fans of Jamal Adams.
Love him.
My final thought. I think Jamal Adams wins Defensive Rookie of the Year this year.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's gonna be huge for that team on and off the field. Like not even just in the box score. If you look at the numbers, whatever tackles and interceptions he puts up, I think he's gonna be one of the biggest leaders in that locker room. and help the Jets get through what's going to be a very tough season. And like, you got like a guy like Adams, he came from LSU. He's not used to losing a lot of games. And a lot of these college, these top draft picks, they go to winning college programs, and they got to learn how to lose. But I think he's going to help them work through this rough season, win Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he may not get defensive captain, but I think he's gonna act like one.
All right, I like that. And, you know, just a little 2 cents here. Landon Collins is going to win Defensive Player of the Year. That's a fact. Okay. That's not a final thought. That's going to happen. That's
going to happen. Darby out on the Eagles now.
Should have won it last year.
He's going to win it this should've year. Should have won it last year. Yeah, he's going to win it this year. It's fine. Every dog has their day. And like that, our day is over. So we're going to kick it to the weekend, guys. We have a whole lot of stuff coming out for you at EmpireRightsBack.com. We got weekly series with week in and week out game predictions. And we also got our daily series that Sean's coming out with their depth chart pieces about the New York Jets and the New York Giants. Quarterbacks are already out there. Don't forget to keep your eye out for running backs, wide receivers, anything, any position. Sean's got it covered. I got up the depth chart coming about the New York Giants. Same type deal. John, everything Buffalo Bills. You won't want to miss it.
Got a drought series.
Buffalo Bills. A lot of series coming at you guys. And with that, we're going to kick it to the weekend. Don't forget to follow us on social media, on Facebook, just search Empire Rights Back, on Twitter, at Empire Rights Back, back spelled B-C-K. Don't forget to follow Sean on Twitter, Sean R. Dyer. John, throw your Twitter handle out there.
John Carroll 55.
Yeah, don't forget to follow him, John Carroll 55. And don't forget to follow me, your boy, at Hey It's Franklin 6 on Twitter. And with that, folks, that was our NFL preseason package. Let's take it to the weekend. Don't come in here, don't come in here, don't come in here.